Welcome to the Organic MD Podcast. This is podcast number one.
Hi, this is Dr. Damon Miller. I'm here with Carlisle Coash.
Howdy.
And this is the Organic MD. This is a first of many recordings that are going to bring you information. We have a bit of a mission here. We're here to really give you good information about medicine, healthcare, and wellness. We're here to dispel a lot of the misconceptions that are out there because of all of the advertising and the hype that are really to get you to buy things. We're here to bring you real information. We're here to inspire you to take responsibility for your own health. And we're also here to help you with all this information and inspiration, make better choices in your life and with your healthcare.
Should be pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I'm a board certified MD. I'm what some people would call a real doctor. And that's a joke, okay? But I am a real doctor.
But you don't play one on TV.
No, not yet. But we do have this podcast. Maybe that's a start. I began my training in internal medicine after graduating from the University of Cincinnati Medical School, Cincinnati, Ohio. And hello to all of you Ohio fans out there. I started in internal medicine, but decided that what I really wanted to do was radiology. And so I came to California and did my postgraduate training in radiology at UCLA, and then went on to do some additional postgraduate training at University of California, Irvine, and became board certified in addition to diagnostic radiology and interventional radiology. The reason, hopefully, that you've never heard of interventional radiology is you've never had any of the horrible things that we dealt with. I moved to Mountain View, California, and worked at El Camino Hospital, and left the hospital-based practice of medicine I was in 1995. I'd become a bit dissatisfied and disenchanted and disillusioned by the practice of medicine that used dangerous therapies, and started out initially really relying on acupuncture. I'd been fascinated with Oriental medicine since 1972. I was in college. One of my advisors at Yale was a physician. He was one of the physicians in the entourage that went with Nixon and Kissinger to China to reestablish relationships with Mao Zedong. And he came back inspired by this mix of Eastern and Western medicine he'd seen in China. And so I bought one of the first books published in English about acupuncture in 1972. And that's been an interest and avocation all through medical school. I decided I really needed to learn that, the rest that I needed to know about Oriental herbs and acupuncture. So that's a part of my practice. I went on really to study a more classical form of acupuncture that is called classical five-element acupuncture that was brought to this country by Dr. J.R. Worsley. He died, bless his soul, and the mantle passed to his wife, Judy Worsley, who I continue to work with. And so that's the style of acupuncture I do. There are a lot of other things that I've picked up through the years, a lot of treatments that are safe, and that's been the focus of my practice. We want medicine to be as healthy for you as organic food is for you. And so we're here to bring...
I'm curious, you've used the word like safe a couple times. And so I'm just curious what that means.
Well, safe. The practice of medicine has really been reduced to a practice of pharmacology with a little bit of surgery mixed in when that's appropriate. So there is very little that's done in medicine these days that doesn't involve pharmacy. And pharmacy is very often quite unsafe. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of formula, a kind of equation that you work with all the time if you're a doctor. You're looking at the problem that's presented to you, the problem that the person brings, you're looking at the treatments, the therapies that are available to you, and you're trying to say, is the risk of this therapy going to be outweighed by the benefit that I'm going to bring the person with it? And most of the time, you decide that it is, and that's why you give a drug that might have some real risk associated with it. What I've found is that if you kind of stray from that path, if you start looking, what else is out there? What else is done in the world in terms of what people do to heal themselves? And you find a lot of things. And you find, what began for me, acupuncture. You find nutritional therapies. You find the benefits of reducing toxic loads in people. And you find that, well, those things can be done safely and they really have no risk. And so what I'm proposing when I deal with people is that we take the safer therapies, the therapies that have no side effects, that aren't going to poison your liver or kill your bone marrow or give you an ulcer that's going to cause you to bleed to death. We're going to take the safer therapies and do those first. And that if those don't work, well, we haven't really burnt any bridges. We can fall back to the therapies that might have some risks involved, but that we don't lead with those. You don't lead with the dangerous therapies first. And that's what medicine is doing now. You know, your doctor does that. You are seeking that because you're hounded in hundreds of ways every day with ads and suggestions and articles and editorials and conventional wisdom that says this is the way to treat things. And what we're going to be talking about here are really, you know, a lot of this is misconception, it's hype, it's advertising. There is a notion, you know, the notion of conventional wisdom even is the notion of convention is something that's defined in the dictionary as not natural. The notion of convention is what's agreed upon, what's contracted for. And it isn't often the best thing to do. And so the conventional wisdom that if your cholesterol is high, you're going to die of heart disease, that may not be true. The conventional wisdom that the only way to treat hypertension is with drugs, that may not be true. The conventional wisdom that if you're having trouble getting pregnant, that you need to go through in vitro fertilization, well, there may be other things you can do. And even worse than that, there's a whole thing that happens in medicine. There's a doctor who I admire a lot called Larry Dossey, and I'm going to credit him with the term medical hexing. There's a notion that, you know, doctors tell you, well, you know, this is what's wrong with you and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you've got osteopenia and you're going to break a bone if you don't take this drug. You know, there are just all kinds of ways that doctors convince you that not only is there nothing that they know how to do, there's nothing that can be done. And you're left feeling dispirited, you're left feeling hopeless, and you're sent home and told, don't bother me anymore, there's nothing that can be done. And I can promise you this because, you know, I was trained in a medical school. I can promise you that physicians are not taught the difference between saying there's nothing that can be done and there's nothing I can do. Most of the time, physicians would be much more honest with you if they would just say, I'm at the end of what I know how to do. Look, all I do is dispense drugs, and maybe I'll refer you to the surgeon. And what we've got here is something for which there is no drug and no surgery, and so I'm out of options. That would be the honest thing for physicians to tell you most of the time. That's not what they say. They tell you there's nothing that can be done. One of the specialties that I've developed working through the years is a specialty dealing with retinal disease. Things like macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, cone rod dystrophies, all of the degenerative diseases of the retina that are kind of lumped under the term macular dystrophies, retinal dystrophies. And, you know, these are all diseases that medicine considers hopeless. There's nothing that is offered for these diseases. They're untreatable. They're chronic. They're progressive. You know, they never go away. They just keep getting worse. And there's no pill, no surgery. And the doctors tell you, I'm sorry, you've got this really bad disease. There is no treatment. Go home and you might want to think about learning Braille and start looking for a white cane at a garage sale somewhere.
They don't actually suggest go home and learn Braille, do they?
They absolutely do. Yes, they actually do suggest go home and learn Braille. You're going to end up blind, okay? Or even worse, they'll say something like, well, you're not really going to go blind, but you may not be able to walk across the room without tripping over the couch, yeah. But the world won't go dark. I've worked with hundreds of people, and the stories they tell me are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the doctor will say something like, well, you have macular degeneration. Sorry, nothing can be done. And they get up and walk out of the room. And you're left sitting there feeling like your life is collapsing around you and the doctor has just left to, you know, go on to the next patient.
And I'm working with someone right now who is, that's been their experience. So it's.
Yeah, that happens sobering. A lot. I wish it didn't. And I don't, look, I'm not trying to imply that all doctors behave that way. There are doctors who have a lot of compassion. Yeah, they definitely understand, you know, how devastating it can be to give somebody a diagnosis like that. And they respond in a human appropriate fashion. I'm not trying to say that all doctors do that, but that you know, there are a lot of times when doctors, especially when you're dealing with diseases for which there is no drug or no surgery, and so you're out of tricks, you're out of anything to offer the person, it gets frustrating if you're a doctor. It gets frustrating when day after day after day you're running into people and you don't have anything to offer them. And you're supposed to be the be-all and end-all of medicine. You were taught in your specialty training in medical school that we're going to show you everything there is. And then you go out into the real practice of medicine and you realize that, wow, there is a whole lot going on here that I don't have anything to offer for. You know, there's nothing I can do for a lot of these people. And so if your ego can't take that, then you just start telling people, I know everything there is and there is nothing more that can be done. If you're a human being, you say, you know, I was taught a whole lot of things and I'm sorry, there's really nothing they taught me that would help you. And if you're really sharp, you do what I was taught in medical school. Chip Felsen was the doctor who taught me really some of the most important lessons I got in internal medicine. He's dead now. But he would tell me when I was working up a patient, he would say, so Dr. Miller, you're working up this patient and they've got this problem they've had for 15 years that they finally have brought to you. Well, nobody has a problem for 15 years that they haven't tried to do something for it. What did they try to do for it? And until I got wise to his ways, I would have to honestly admit, well, I didn't ask them. So he'd say, well, go back and ask them. So I go back and I'd interview this patient. I was kind of a green medical student, just learning the ropes. And I'd say, so what did you do for this? And they'd give me all the things they'd try. And I'd come back very proud. And I'd tell Dr. Felsen, this is what they did. And he'd go, well, did any of those things work? And I'd go, well, I don't know. I really forgot to ask them if any of them had worked. He goes, well, go back and see what worked. And so I'd go back again and I'd say, you know, so you tried all these things. What worked? And they would tell me, this worked, this didn't work. I got a little better with this and it quit working. I'm still doing this because it continues to work. And boy, did I learn a lot. Boy, do I continue to learn a lot from that line of questioning. You know, that kind of interaction with people will really teach you a lot. Because people who are chronically ill, people who've been abandoned by doctors, they figure out a lot. They figure out what's out there. They figure out what other things have been done. And, you know, the person who taught me everything I know about treating eye disease was Grace Halloran. She died just a couple of years ago now. But she was inspired because she was studying and working with a disease that she had. And what really lit the fire under her is she had a child and her child had it. She had retinitis pigmentosa. She'd been told, oh, Grace, you know, that was really dumb having a child because your child's going to be blind by the time he's a teenager. Look, everybody in your family had this disease. You know, they look at yourself. You can barely see now. You can't drive. You can't work. You can't do any of these things. Well, she'd been willing to put up with the idea that she might lose her own sight, that she might never see well in her own life. But she was damned if she was going to watch her child grow up and be blind. And so she was on a quest. She set out to study everything she could find about these diseases. And she came up with a program of therapies that I'm using today now that she's gone that lead to not only keeping people from losing their sight, but we have helped hundreds, if not probably several thousand people now, get their sight back when they've lost it. And this is this kind of approach is what we're going to be talking about on the show, not just with eye disease, but what you can do if you have diabetes, what you can do if you have high blood pressure. And we're not just going to be talking about what to do if you have a serious disease. We're going to be talking about ways to keep yourself healthy, because that's something else that was woefully missing from my medical school education. You know, you hear people say, oh, doctors, they don't know anything about nutrition. They don't know anything about vitamins and supplements. And that's a bunch of hogwash, okay? The most feared class in your first year of medical school is this year-long course in biochemistry that you have to take. And coupled with that is a year-long course in medical physiology. And boy, if you don't understand vitamins and supplements and diet and essential fatty acids and nutrition, you know, this is just a far better course than anyone else out there gets. Now, most physicians, it falls out of their head after a few years because when you get into the practice of medicine, nobody's using that stuff. All of the doctors who are trying to teach you how to take care of people, they're not saying, remember what you were taught about essential fatty acids? Well, pay attention to that now because we're going to use it in treating this person. No, you get out into the practice of medicine and people are saying, what's the drug we're going to use? What's the surgery we're going to use? They're not paying a whole lot of attention. And so it's like anything else, even though you learned an incredible amount of information about nutrition and the importance of vitamins and supplements and essential nutrients, if you don't use it, you lose it. And if the doctors who are teaching you, the ones you're looking to for your further training, if they're not using it, then you figure, well, I guess this isn't really important, and it kind of falls out of your head. I really loved that stuff. And so that's something that stuck with me. It's something I use now. It's something we're going to be talking about a lot in this show. We're going to be talking about how to be rational and sensible and effective in your use of diet and nutrition and supplements. That's really important. And that's something we're going to be spending a lot of time with. I just also want to just say, you know, I grew up in a family where I just want to give you a little bit of my bias. I grew up in a family where I was not taken off to the doctor every time I was sick. In fact, we went to the doctor fairly infrequently. I did get vaccinated. I'm not sure I'm happy about that, but I got vaccinated as a kid. But my grandmother, my mother, my father, they were still from an era when people knew how to take care of themselves. They knew how to take care of their families and their children and their spouses and their friends. Not that everybody had the skills, but there was just an understanding that there were certain things that you just needed to be able to take care of on your own, kind of self-sufficiency in terms of medical care that has been lost. Through fear, we've really been told, you know, you dare not take care of yourself. You dare not try to take care of anything. You know, if something is wrong with you, you know, get your body to the doctor. There's too much risk, too much that could go wrong, too much that might be missed. And boy, that's just not true. So one of the goals for this program is really to give back to you what you used to know and you've forgotten, what your parents used to know and that's been forgotten, which are just basic things about how you take care of your health. And I promise you, if you do those things, it will keep you healthy. If you do those things, it will take care of a lot of things that might be illnesses that you have right now. Sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself is to restore health to your body, because your body knows how to take care of things. And usually, if you've got a problem, if you've got a disease, if you've got a chronic illness that isn't getting better, it's because there's something in your body that should be fixing you that needs attention. And if you give attention to the parts of your body that know how to heal things, your body will heal itself. It's as simple as that. It often is as simple as that. Often the things that you need to do are quite simple. And sometimes it's, you know, just giving up bad habits. If you're drinking too much, if you're smoking cigarettes, if you're not exercising, if you're not sleeping, if you're stressed, you know, those are things that you hear about. But what most people forget is that, you know, those are really important to your health. You've got to be taking care of the basics. So we're going to be coming back to that again and again and again in this podcast. So again, who's going to be interested in this show? Well, a lot of people, who just want to be well, people who want information, who want guidance on really enhancing your wellness and being as well as you can be. But also people who've been told that they have incurable or untreatable diseases, things for which there is no drug, no surgery. You know, the information that you need that you can't get from your doctor, hopefully you can begin to get that here. I have this specialty with the eye disease, and I also deal a lot with people who have trouble with fertility. Those are some specialties that we're going to be talking about here. And people who just want a safer alternative, you know, they have diseases like diabetes, hypertension, things that they have high cholesterol, they have, you know, things for which they're taking drugs, those problems seem to have gone away, but they want a safer alternative. You know, we're going to be discussing those things here. To ask again that if you have feedback, if you have topics that you want us to discuss, go to organicmd.com, go to bettereyehealth.com. Either place, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can leave us an email, you can give us feedback. We really welcome that. We want that. And we invite you to check back again for the podcast. We're going to be starting off early on with some stuff about eye disease. That's going to be the first couple of episodes. We're going to be also mixing in with that some basic things about nutrition. And we're going to be dealing with some of the most common misconceptions that are out there because of the excessive advertising pushing you to buy drugs. So we're going to be dealing with cholesterol, the myths about cholesterol, the myths about osteopenia, and the myths about high blood pressure, the myths about problems with fertility. Going to be doing all of those. And if you check on iTunes and or go to the website, there's some additional sound and audio files there that are interviews that I've given before. And right now there are a couple of audio files there that are talks I've given that were recorded about osteopenia and osteoporosis and having strong and healthy bones, and another couple of segments there on healthy fats. Fats are important in your diet, and there's a really good module of material there about healthy fats, and you'll find that at organicmd.com or bettereyehealth.com. So this is our introductory segment. This is just to kind of give you a sense of who we are and what we're going to be doing. And we welcome you to keep checking back. We're shooting right now for at least once a month. And if there's enough interest in this, we'll try and increase the frequency of the podcasts. But glad you're listening, and I just want to say thank you.